Well, good morning. It's great to be here. If you're online, welcome to you as well. If we haven't met, my name is Ryan. And like Dean, part of the team here, but also I'm part of another team. I am a happy West Coast Eagles fan this morning. That's right, there's a few cheers and a few jeers, and that's okay because we're all here under a different banner that brings unity. And so don't hate me. Maybe hate the game, but it's good to be here. And you know, as much as we joke, and you know, the Eagles winning was a great thing last night, and it was a great environment to be in. There truly isn't a greater environment to be in than what we just experienced there, being able to just come together and worship God. And no stadium, no sport, no other. There's nothing else that will bring the presence of God and joy and hope and freedom to our lives, like being able to gather like this. And so it's a privilege today to be here and to be able to share some thoughts out of God's word. And we're going to be looking today at a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, not the whole letter, because that would take a while, but we're going to just take a portion of this letter that Paul has written to the Corinthian church to encourage them and to give them some instruction and direction about how they're living and how they're living out in their faith. And so we're going to pick up a few verses we'll kind of start with here. And our passage for today is 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 18. We're just going to start and read a snippet of this this morning. And Paul is writing to me. He says this. He says, "The old way, the laws etched in stone, led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared to the overwhelming glory of the new way. If the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever." You know, Paul is writing this letter, and he's kind of referencing what life was like in the time of Moses in Exodus, where Moses would go before God and God would speak to him, and he'd come back and deliver instruction to the people. And in fact, there would be this glow about Moses from being in the presence of God that was so overwhelming for the people that they didn't understand it. It would, you know, at first would instill fear in them. So it says that Moses would kind of put a veil on it, he would cover that up. And then he would deliver this instruction to the people, and there was this cycle, and this is the way life would go. Moses would go before the people, before God. He would get instruction. He would deliver it back. They'd go about their way and then find themselves off course again. And Moses would, again, give instruction and direction. And this was this way of life, that there was this separation from God's people to God, and Moses kind of being in the middle of that. And Paul is referencing that there was this old way, which was still pretty spectacular. Like you go and read through the life of Moses, I'm like, I'd take some of that. You know, just part in the Red Sea for a moment, or, you know, just leading God's people out of years of slavery and performing miracles and seeing incredible things happen. The old way was glorious, but Paul begins to reference that there's a new way. That there is a new way that is far better than the old way. A new way which is actually far more glorious and far more superior to all the incredible things that we see God do amongst his people in that time. And what I want to look at this morning is the idea of living in the new way. And this is what Paul is speaking to the people in the Corinthians that he's writing this letter to. And what I love about God's word is that this letter can be written all these years ago. This instruction can be written all these years ago to a church in Corinth. Yet we can pick up the Bible today and we can read it, and it will speak directly to us where we are. Different context, different time, different challenges, but God's word remains true. And I believe that just as much for the people in the day receiving this letter, that there was a new way for them to go about their life, so it is for us today. And so we're going to continue just reading for a few moments here. Verse 12, it's up on the screen. It says, "Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, love a good but in the scripture, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. And God, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. You know, what we see about the old way is it ultimately always led to condemnation. It always eventually led to God's people being separated and either trying to come and find their way back. And really, it was a cycle. Just a cycle that they went through. A cycle that needed Jesus to come in and break that up and provide a new way of living. I don't know if you've ever had an experience in your life where life has changed in some way and you thought back to how did I live like that? Remember finishing school and not quite having my driver's license, which was kind of annoying because I had a job and so I'd have to catch the train to work. To get to church, I'd often have to walk or rely on a lift. And then a little while into that journey, my mom bought me a car. It was an XF Ford Falcon, manual, four on the floor. Car heads will know that. I didn't really understand it, but it's a good reference. But I had this car and it sat in my driveway. And I was like, one day I'll get around to getting my license. I'm busy taking the train right now. You know, it's no time to go in and get it and getting lifts off friends and walking places, burning a lot of time in public transport and lifts and walking to the point where eventually enough was enough and I got my license. I put on my big boy pants. I went and got my license. Now, it wasn't like it is today where you got to then go and do 5,000 hours of practical driving, which is probably much better than that. I remember leaving the license center going, oh, cool. I can do this with no one watching now. It was great. I was like, 1 minute, there's someone always having to be in the seat. Next minute, well, I had freedom. And I was thinking to myself, how did I ever live my life without a license? I can go where I want, when I want. Instead of it taking an hour to go to work, it's going to take 15 minutes. I can go to see my friends. I had this newfound freedom. And I thought, man, I've got some spare time. And what are all the things I'm going to do with this spare time? Like, a life is going to be more efficient. You're going to get so much more done. And then a little while after, I just found myself doing the same thing, just sleeping in a little bit longer because I didn't have to get up as early. I mean, it takes 15 minutes to get to work now. I'd stay out a whole lot later with my friends because it didn't take as long to get home. And suddenly, this new way of life that I had, this newfound freedom, was no longer really working for me in the way that I hoped that it would. I just kind of become familiar with this new way of going about it. And Paul is writing this letter and he's saying, don't you realize this new way of life that you have? Like, you don't need to live like that anymore. In fact, some of you kind of maybe have found this new way. You're in the church, you're following the way, you're following Jesus. But don't you realize you have access to this whole new way of living your life? That Jesus in this new way has brought freedom to your life. That the Spirit of God is in your life, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't know about you, but I don't always live out my life like it's full of freedom. Sometimes it might be a difficult circumstance, something out of my control. Maybe sometimes I just let busyness get in the way of following Jesus the way He calls me to, listening to His Spirit's leading. Maybe sometimes it's sin in my life that I allow just to creep in. If I'm really honest with you today, can I be really honest with you today? You know what? The biggest thing that creeps in the way of sometimes my living out my freedom, it's comfort. Just kind of coming home and just wanting to chill out. I'm waking up in the morning, going, you know what? I just need a little bit more time to chill out. Getting home from work, I got kids, I just got to get, once I get to bed, I just want to chill out. Just want to be comfortable. And so often that comfort or that sin or that difficulty or that hard time begins to rob the freedom that the Spirit wants to bring into our lives. And Paul is saying, don't you realize that you have freedom? You know, that word freedom is kind of sometimes translated or can be translated into the word liberty, which is like freedom from slavery. Isn't it interesting that it's talking about you as God's people were once in slavery and now you have freedom through God's Spirit, through the coming of Jesus? that you have liberty in your life. Sometimes I wouldn't get up in the morning and go, geez, I'm a person of liberty today. But like, I gotta go get some things done. I gotta pay my mortgage. That doesn't feel like liberty to me. The car's on empty, I gotta get more deeds. No, come on, that's not liberty. But the Lord says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom from the things that want to enslave us in this life. That the journey that you're going through today, the battle that you're facing, is actually not your slave. That I don't want to be a slave to my circumstances. I don't want to be a slave to my sin. I don't want to be a slave to comfort in my life. But I want to live in the freedom that comes from Jesus. And that's the opportunity we have every day to get up and walk in freedom. I look around at our world, and you don't have to read the news for very long. In fact, don't do that. It's depressing. But if you do like to read the news, you don't have to read it for very long to realize that there's not a lot of freedom sometimes in our world. That the news is not a place that's often full of joy, unless you're reading the back page of the West Australian today. Sorry, I had to do it. There'll be some joy there. But the reality is our world is not something you would describe as free. Liberty. In fact, often it represents the opposite. In the conversations I have with people, so often it's about what is holding them back, not what is setting them free. And the answer is found in Jesus. That ultimately this cycle of slavery and sin and separation from God is delivered through Jesus. And so we have freedom. The other thing we have is that there is transformation. So the Spirit of God is there to bring freedom to those areas of the lives that wants to hold us back, but it's not just, all right, you're free now, go about your way. It says in these verses that, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. His glorious image, we are changed. That the idea is as we walk with the Spirit in our life, as we walk in His freedom, that our life is transformed. And again, if I put my hat on, I'm like, can I be transformed into a person with maybe no mortgage or a better life or a bigger hat? That's not transformation. It's transformation in being more and more like Christ. That each day as I wake up and I walk in that freedom and I have that access to the Spirit of God, that my life begins to look more and more like that of Jesus. So maybe some of those things that would have been markers or goals for me in my life at one point are no longer that because of the transformation of Jesus. Maybe the way I act and speak and how I use my resources become different because of the Spirit of God living inside of me. And those things that are my priorities become more like Jesus' priorities. And again, transformation is not just A to B. It's not like you were this and now you're just that. Anyone who's known me for a long period of time will know my life has changed dramatically over many, many years. And it wasn't just like an overnight, I found Jesus, now everything is different. In fact, it was so different to that. It's actually a journey of allowing the Spirit of God to be at work in your life, to see transformation come. And sometimes it might feel a little bit like one step forward, and if you're anything like me, maybe three steps backwards, and then maybe a couple more forward. But transformation will be taking place if we're allowing the Spirit of God to move in our lives. It doesn't promise in here an easier life. It doesn't promise that when the Spirit of God comes in your life, it just becomes easy and good. In fact, as Paul is writing a lot of these letters in the scripture, he's often in prison or on the run, or in these examples that he will use is, under persecution, difficult times, but still going through transformation. And I just want to encourage you today, wherever you are on that journey, if the Spirit of God is at work in your life, allow Him to keep transforming you. Don't get caught up in where you need to be or where you think you should be or where somebody else is. But where is the Spirit speaking to you in your life where you are right now? And sometimes all it takes is just to take a little look backwards into maybe what life looked like a year ago to see what it looks like a year later. Maybe you could look back even a week ago and go, where was the Spirit of God transforming my life in the last week? For all of us, we should be able to notice the difference in our lives that Jesus makes. That he would be transforming us on the inside to become more and more like him. You know, I love that phrase, changed into his glorious image. Because it's him that we want to be putting all the glory towards. It's our lives that are called to reflect his glory. And that becomes the next kind of call to us out of this letter, is that it's not just for us to see this transformation take place. It's not just to reflect the glory so that our life gets better, but it's to reflect the glory of God for others to see. You know, the scripture talks there about how Moses would enter the glory of God and then the people would maybe freak out a little bit or wouldn't be able to handle it. And so what would he would put like a little veil over his face. He had like a physical glow. And so he would cover that up. And then when he would go back in to meet with God, he would take the veil off and go back out and he would put it on. So I was reflecting on this image. I began to wonder, how many times in my own life do I get up to go out into my world and put something on that might cover up what Jesus wants to do in my life that day? How often do I'm like, oh, is my faith going to weird somebody else out? Or cause them to think I'm weird, even worse. Even more weird than I probably already am. So I begin to cover it up and go, no, not today. What did you do on the weekend? Oh, it was great. I had a great weekend. See ya. You know, don't want to tell anyone about that side of life because it might just weird them right out. You know, one of the things that often people will say to me when I meet them, they find out maybe I'm a pastor or a Christian, and if you've known me for a little while, you'll know this, that they sometimes are quite surprised. Now, I don't know why. When I say I'm a pastor, that people will be like, what? Like, I feel like I fit in the mold, right? Like, but sometimes people find that a bit shocking. Or that I'm a Christian, they might find that weird. Or be surprised by that. And often the phrase that comes back is, you just seem like a bit of a normal bloke. I'm like, I don't know what you were expecting. And sometimes I feel like that can work to my advantage in life, that people think I'm normal and it's okay. But sometimes I think I can hang my hat on that and go, I don't want to push too far because people might start to think I'm not normal anymore. Or I'll hold back and put a little bit of veil up just so that I can still hold on to my normal status and go, I don't want to show too much to that person because what will they think of me? And there can be this timidness to my faith. When people ask me what I do, you got to kind of tell them you're a pastor unless you want to lie, and you shouldn't lie. So sometimes I just try and like cover it up real quick because I'm worried that maybe that's going to start an uncomfortable conversation. Or I have the opportunity to share my faith with someone or invite them to something or take it to another level. I'm like, no, they think I'm a normal bloke and they like me. I'm going to park it right there. Now, hear me, I'm not going to go out tomorrow and start being more weird, and I'm not encouraging you to do that either. But I think sometimes we can hold back because we might be worried about what someone else might think or what they might say or what that might do to our reputation. And what we're doing there is blocking that reflection of the glorious image of God. That hope that often we have and that freedom that we often have in our lives when we go through challenges or difficult times or we see something great happen in our lives and we know that it's God that's done that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can hold back that information and just share, your biggest coincidence happened this week. You wouldn't believe it. Why do you seem so joyful while you're going through something difficult? Oh, I don't know, I'm just happy, go lucky. Now they'll know me and go, no, you're not. You know, like, the reality is there's more to my life, there's more to my faith that I could share in that moment, but I choose sometimes to put up a veil. This scripture says when we're living with the Spirit inside of us, There is a call to reflect God's glory and the things that he's doing in our lives and the things that we see and share it with other people. Why? So the veil might be taken away, so that they then can also receive the same freedom that we have received. And so I know in my life when I wake up, I want to go out into my world, I want to go out into my day, and I want to reflect the glory of God. And the last thing here is this, is that we reflect the glory of God, but we can do it with boldness. The call in the scripture here, since this new way gives us confidence, we can be very bold. We don't have to put up a veil. We don't have to be timid about our faith. We don't have to be scared about what someone else might think. That the work of the Spirit in our lives should produce confidence. The fact that he is at work doing the things that he are doing should give us a boldness in the way that we live out our faith. That we have confidence that he is with us, that he is at work, that he has control. And out of that confidence, we can go and live out our life with such faith. I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds like a pretty good way of living. That we don't have to be caught up and worried about what tomorrow might bring, but we can live in a freedom and a peace that can only come by his Spirit. And as he is at work in our lives, we can trust with confidence and boldness that we can go out into our world and live that out. And we don't need to cover it up, and we don't need to hide it. We don't need to be worried that he might let us down or fail us. But we have a boldness and a confidence that where God's Spirit is, there is freedom. And that means we can have freedom in our lives, but we can help bring freedom to somebody else's. And as we kind of begin to bring this time to a close, we're going to sing another song of worship and declaring God's truth. And we've got this table here either side where we're going to take communion together. And there's no greater picture of the freedom that we have in our lives than this table that represents Christ, as we've been singing about, overcoming sin and death, marking that there is nothing, in fact, that he can't overcome. You know, I love the words of that song that we sung earlier, that, you know, the work is finished and hell still knows. You know, the reality is while we live on this imperfect earth, we're going to walk journeys of hard times. We're going to be lured and tempted into things that want to pull us away from that freedom, that want to pull us away and pull us in other directions. Communion is just an incredible reminder that actually we can come before Jesus and find hope and freedom in those spaces. And where we may have been lured away, we can come and recenter ourselves on who he is. And I just wonder today, as we come around the table, maybe for you, that's the position you find yourself in. Maybe feeling a little bit distant from God. Maybe a little bit far away, maybe just lured back. Well, you know what? You can come to the table and receive freedom from those things today. You can actually come and you can take those emblems that are the symbol of what he did to overcome all of that and leave behind those other things. Or maybe you are just going through difficulties at the moment, challenges in your life that you don't see the answer to. It's a great opportunity to come and renew trust in who Jesus is. And whilst all those things may not be solved today, my prayer would be that there would be a renewed freedom and trust in who Jesus is and that he is in control of your life. And whilst challenges and difficulties come, you don't have to live in that space where that has a hold of you. You can actually journey with it, with his Spirit, and have incredible hope and freedom in that space. And so as we come to the table, if that's you, I encourage you to pray that prayer to Jesus, that you would just find freedom in those areas of your life where you so need it, because he has overcome that already. And I just have one other challenge for us this week. On your chair, you'll see a little card that represents an invite card for Alpha. We have Alpha parties coming up on Wednesday night. And when we talk about boldness and reflecting Christ's glory, you know what? This little thing is just an open door to be able to do that. To be able to share with someone else the great hope that you have received, the freedom that you have received, that they might find that through something like Alpha, where they come to a party and come to community and meet some people and then hopefully embark on a journey of several conversations about life and faith. And maybe they don't quite get there on this time, but it opens up the opportunity for you to have a conversation with them about what has happened in your life as a result of who Jesus is. But you know what? That actually takes reflecting the glory of Christ in your life. It actually takes a bit of boldness sometimes to be able to share that. You know, sometimes it actually involves taking the veil down and going, hey, there's this thing. There's this thing I know about. Why don't you just come and find out about it? Maybe for you, you're not quite at the invite stage. Maybe I encourage you just to take one of those cards and start initiating conversations with people, maybe about your faith. And I reckon pretty quickly it'll open up an opportunity to be able to use something like that invite. And so if maybe for you that's your next step today, is maybe your freedom levels are feeling pretty good and you feel greatly connected to Jesus and the transformation that's taking place in your life, maybe it's time to go and be bold and see what His Spirit might do. You know what I love about that is the work on all of that is actually the Spirit of God. We're just the vehicle to get the conversation started. It's not up to us whether they come. You don't have to be super convincing. Just let the Spirit of God do its work. But we are the vehicle at which He wants to be at work. And He calls us to be bold. And so maybe as we're singing this song, for you it's a prayer of boldness. Lord, may I be more bold in what it means to reflect Your glory in the world that I live in. We stand together. I'd love to pray. So for wherever you're at this morning, whether it's needing to find a bit more freedom, whether it's allowing the victory of Christ into your life and inviting His Spirit in for Him to be at work in transforming who you are, as you come to the table, I'd encourage you to pray for that in your life. Pray that His Spirit would be at work. Pray that there would be freedom in your life. Pray that He would continue to transform who you are. Or maybe for you, it's that idea of boldness where you can ask for that prayer. Lord, may I be bold in reflecting Your glory. May I not put a veil up to block what You would want to do in me and through me. But as we all leave here, may we leave here knowing that His Spirit is in us, that He is with us, that He is transforming us, and He is at work in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your kindness. Lord, as we come to the table, we're thankful for Your sacrifice of Your life that overcame sin and death. And Lord, that You don't just leave it at that, but that Your Spirit is at work inside of us, bringing us freedom, transforming who we are, and giving us opportunities, Lord, to reflect who You are in our lives, to see others receive the same. So Lord, for myself and each person here, Lord, and each person gathered online, as we have this time together in Your presence, Lord, may You speak to us. May we leave here full of Your joy and Your Spirit. And Lord, as we leave, may You be at work in our lives. We give You all the honor and all the glory. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.